Our Father, what a picture. Lord, just enough to whet our appetite. Lord, we think that sounds so amazing to hear. But Lord, that's like hearing a three-year-old choir sing compared to the majestic angels that singing even now, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. The Lamb who was slain, who alone receives worthy and honor and praise and glory and power. Unto you we declare, you alone are our God and our King. And without you, Lord, we are nothing. We are nothing." God, I pray you'd hear the cries of our heart this morning. Lord, as we begin this fresh new year of school and all that entails, God, I thank you for these teachers, administrators that are here this morning and others that are spread across the churches in our district. We are so blessed. God, use them, protect them, bless them, give them wisdom, give them strength, give them energy, give them insight to teach and to mold and to shape the most precious treasures that we have, our children, our students, our young people. God, for these precious lives from pre-K all the way to 18 years old, and even our college students, we lift them up to you as well. God, I pray in particular for our students, grade 7 to 12, have such a marvelous opportunity that sits before them. There are so many who have yet to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and may they hear it through our students. May they hear it through us as mom and dads. May they see it lived out. God, would you speak to us now as we turn our eyes back to the basics, the things we need to be reminded of, the truths that are so very important that oftentimes in the busyness of life or even in the relaxation of a summer we can lose touch with. And so I pray you'd speak to us this morning. And when we come to a time of invitation to respond to what you've called us to do, may we do it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, praise team, for leading us this morning to the throne of God. If you have a copy of God's Word, would you turn to John 15, John 15, beginning in verse number 1. Vince Lombardi, the great football coach, the legendary NFL football coach, the man who led the Green Bay Packers to 2 Super Bowl titles, 5 NFL championships. This guy is a legend. If you don't know him, you don't have to look very long. Oh, I see the Packers back there. That's nice. All the way in the back there. Go Packers. That's good. I like you brought that. That's good. That's our Packers friends from Wisconsin. How you enjoying the Mississippi? Look, let's look right there and see her. She's proud, a cheesehead right there. How you enjoying the Mississippi weather now from old Wisconsin? Hot. Ah, that's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, we're glad you guys are here with us this morning. And it reminds us that fall will get here sometime. Don't worry. It'll be here by the first week of November. It'll cool down by November. But the great coach, Vince Lombardi, every single season did something that would just defy odds. Remember, now we're talking NFL players. We're talking the best of the best. And every season they began, he would start the guys inside. He would show them the football, and here's what he would say. Guys, this is a football. He would take that football and march his guys out onto the playing, the practice field, or maybe the Lambeau Field there in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And he would take them and walk them around the perimeter of the field and say, these are the sidelines. This is the 20. This is the hash mark. And then he'd take them to that goal line and he'd say, men, I want to remind you of something. As if they needed to know. I mean, really, NFL players remember, right? He'd say, guys, this is the goal line. And your job and my job is to put the ball across the goal line as many times you can every single game. Why would Vince Lombardi take the time to remind them of the most obvious thing that any NFL player who has any sort of a brain left would know, the basics and the rules and the game of football? Because Vince Lombardi knew, and it was proven to be true, that those who know and remember the basics are those who will go the farthest in life. In the case of the NFL, those that went the farthest and had those championships in the early years of the NFL. You look at the great legendary coaches throughout the years in college and NFL and other sports, and you see the men and the women that teach the basics, that don't forget what got you there and how you get there day after day, week after week. It's not the glitz and the glamour. It's in the basics. And we often assume we all know them. And here's the thing, we do all know them. But the problem is, so often we get so tied up in the minutiae and even the big picture, we forget the basics. The basics of the spiritual life. The things that we know that are so important, but sometimes we leave them out. So over the next four Sundays, we're going to talk about those basics. And we're going to do that in the realm and the strategy of what we believe at Petal First Baptist that God has brought to us is not some kind of a pretty image or some kind of an idea, but something that really breathes life into what we believe every child of God should be doing in their life, that should be a part of their life. We're going to be very practical, very relevant, very down to earth, and really walking out of this door every single Sunday over the next four Sundays with something to say, what do I need to do with what I hear? Because every one of us, and here's the word of encouragement, every single one of us in this room need to be asking this question, what do I need to do with what I hear? Lord Jesus, speak to me in such a way that I will know what it is that I need to do with what I hear and what I experience this morning. John chapter 15, beginning in verse number 1, Jesus speaking to his disciples, Jesus giving the last words that he's going to give to his disciples, and he takes them back to the basics. Even Jesus, the Son of God, remind those disciples who had walked with him for 3.5 years, and he shares with them the most important things. Now remember, they're probably not going to remember what he told them 3 years ago. These are the last important words Jesus is going to speak, and this is what he tells them. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that he bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I have to believe that Jesus sharing these words, most likely he's somewhere either near a vineyard, they had just come from one, or they're going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane that had vineyards in it. Maybe he's got a vine in his hand reminding him of what he's talking about. Verse 5, I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches, church. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. But notice this, circle this in your Bible. But apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Say it with me, nothing. Here's our problem. Here is our biggest problem. We think we can do something. That Jesus needs us to do something when he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And even the church, we have to be so careful and so guarded that we don't just do something. That our motto is do nothing apart from being connected to Jesus. He's holding him in a very simple illustration. If a vine is not attached, and I'm not the smartest person ever walked planet Earth, but I do know this much, if you cut a branch off from the main trunk of the tree, it will do what? Die. Now here's the problem in the spiritual world. A lot of us do really well, and we've talked this many, many times. We do the spiritual game, right? I would attest it to it this way. It used to be 30 years ago when you bought a washing machine or a refrigerator, it was made to last. So you know what I'm talking about. My mom still has that awesome yellow refrigerator. Some of y'all old enough to know what I'm talking about. Y'all remember the orange, yellow, and green days? We call them now the puke colors. That's what they look like now. My mom's yellow refrigerator that we had when I was a kid, back probably in 1975, 40 plus years ago, is still humming along. But the new prettier model that has stainless steel that will hold your child's fingerprints for years to come is in your refrigerator and in my kitchen, in your kitchen. I promise you, I guarantee you, it will break. How do I know? I just replaced my dryer. I was going to fix it for the fourth and final time, and she's sitting in the garage. Now, it looks pretty. It says it does all the same things. But it's not like they used to make it. We as Christians sometimes, if we're not careful, we can put on the image, we can put on the show, we can put on the face, we can do, watch me, the church things, the Christian things, the Jesus things, and in reality, what people don't realize is that we're cut off from the branch. And we're doing things and we're going through the motions, but at the end of the day, if we're really honest, and that's really the question I want to ask you this morning, that is this: are you really connected to the vine? I don't want to make a single assumption for any single person listening to the sound of my voice. Do you know Jesus or do you not? When we come to a time of invitation, I'm only going to offer you the opportunity. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, that one that we just sung about and declared, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, with passion and fervor. Why? Because He is our Savior and our Lord, our Master and our King, our Redeemer and our Friend. And if I'm not connected to Him, I can do nothing. Now, I can do something, but it will not last. And I will find myself discontent and in disarray and dysfunctional and all the D words you can come up with to think about what I will be. But yet we believe here at Petal First Baptist that our vision, our mission is this: to engage people with the hope of the gospel to see lives transformed. We don't engage people with the latest and greatest this or that, although we're going to try to be as relevant and as cutting edge as we can possibly be. We're going to do inflatables. We're going to do trunk or treat. We're going to do all the things we can to engage our community, go into our community and do backyard kids clubs. We're going to go, but here's what we want them to know. In the midst of giving a backpack, in the midst of fixing teeth and pulling them, in the midst of giving them clothes and uniforms, we want them to know there is the hope of the gospel that will change their lives forever. It will transform them, I pray, in the way that has transformed you and me. But we have to be connected to engage people with the hope of the gospel, with the goal to see lives transformed. And how we do that was four words. Four simple words. You've heard them before. Maybe you've forgotten them. It's very, very simple. It's four words. Maybe you know them. I quiz my vision team every time we meet together, and maybe you know them. Four key words. They're in your worship guide. They're in your newsletter. Every week you get them. Hopefully you see them all the time. Four words: connect, grow, commit, and go. We have a visual of it. Let's pop that up there, Michael, if you will. The visual of it is designed not to look pretty, although it does. It's well designed, Kristen, an incredible job of putting on a page of what we want you to visually see we want you to be. We started there at the blue. We're going to talk about this morning. That is to connect yourself and others to Christ and the church. But this is really a visual map, if you will, of what we believe you should be in Christ Jesus. You should have every one of these elements in your life on a daily basis, a weekly basis, and a monthly and yearly basis. That daily you are connecting yourself to Christ and connecting others to the church and to Christ. That you're growing in an ever-deepening relationship with Christ. We'll talk about next week some specific ways, really, really specific ways of how do you read the Bible? How do you get the most out of reading the Bible? How does it not just some stale book and you read Deuteronomy? What in the world does it mean? We're going to talk about some of those things next week. How do you have a quiet time with your family, a time of worship with your family? What about these God times we hand out every Sunday morning with our kids? What do we do with those? We're going to talk about that next week. We want you to grow deep in your walk with God. But not only that, once you grow, you realize God has wired me to serve. And so I want to commit my life to serving Christ and others with my time, resources, and energy. And I'm committed to that. That's a part of growing as a believer in Jesus Christ. And then lastly, I'm going to go. I'm going to go share the love of Christ with everyone, everywhere. And it may be to the ends of the earth, or me in our backyard off of Carterville Road in Forest Park mobile home community, or maybe it's somewhere else in our school system or somewhere else where you go and you're going. So here's my question right off the bat as you identify for yourself: are you doing these four things? Can you identify these as a part of your life? If not, let me challenge you. Here's what I'm saying, and let me say it as clearly as I know how. If you are not doing these four things on a personal level and then plug in on a corporate level, you are not being all that God designed for you to be a mature believer in Jesus Christ. Listen, following Christ is not optional. It's not just when I feel good or it's the time that I want to do it. It is a calling from God to sacrifice, to connect, grow, commit, and go. And is it catchy? Yep, we want it to be to help you try to remember it. But it's really, we want you to know and understand this is what you want you to be. So every time you see this, you're thinking to yourself, where am I in that scale? And by the way, if you say, well, I'm doing all those, I'm there, so here's the next step. Boy, you want to be, really want to be on Superman today, then the next step is you're taking somebody with you. You've connected to somebody and you're helping them grow in their walk with the Lord. You're helping them understand what it means to commit, to be a generous giver, to be connected in serving the body of Christ here at Petal First Baptist somewhere. Then you help them to go. And then you let them go and they find somebody else and you go find somebody else and you go around the circle. And this continuous circle happens over and over and over again. But how do we do that? How do we stay with the basics? Just quickly, let me tell you a couple of things. First of all, number one, we have to have a deep desire. We've got to have a deep desire. You've got to have a want to. You can't have your parents' desire, your grandparents' desire. You can't have your friends' desire. You have to have the desire. You have to have the desire and the willingness to want to be connected to Christ Jesus, to grow deeper in that walk with Him. You have to have a desire. And these first few things will apply to all four. We must be deliberate. We have to be intentional. I promise you, you won't get the basics by doing it in a haphazard fashion. What is the statement said? If you aim at nothing, you will hit it every single time without fail. Did you see the Olympics yesterday? Oh, I love this time of year. I love the Olympics. Man, some weird sports now in Olympics. It's crazy. Some girl was shooting an air gun. Man, she had on some crazy outfit. I don't know what that had to do with what she was shooting. I need to go and look it all up. And then she's got this thing over her eye, you know, and she looks like something from a movie or something, you know, and she's shooting a gun. I don't know if it's a real gun or it's like a computer. I don't know what it is. But, I mean, this girl's 19 years old, son, and she's shooting a target. Here's what she says. That's about that big. I'm thinking, I couldn't hit a target that big, much less that big. What is she doing? She's being intentional about aiming at the target. Folks, we have to be intentional if we're going to grow in our walk with the Lord. If we're going to keep the basics, the main thing, then we have to be intentional in how we do that, which is the third. We have to know our design and have a design. So what do I mean by that? We have to know that God has designed us and created us for something special. God has shaped each of you significantly and differently. God has given each of us a spiritual gift, a heart, abilities, personality, and life experiences that shape who we are and who He has called us to be. It is our shape. And so God has designed you to do something that will matter for the kingdom. You don't have to be a preacher or a missionary or on a church staff to make a difference in the kingdom. In fact, you can probably do more if you're not doing those things, because you interact with a lost and dying world every single day. You got to know your design. What has God created you to do, and how has He created you to fulfill that plan? And then next, we got to have a plan. You got to work that plan. You can't just grow in your walk with the Lord haphazardly and just hope I kind of figure it out. Hope that every morning I go, oh God, I do we call it the finger plan. You know what I'm talking about? You get your Bible out and go, that one. And look down and it says, and the hand of God is, wow, that's pretty good. You luck out sometimes. The hand of God is favorably disposed to all those who seek them. Right? If I'd have gone over a little bit further over, it talks about God's judgment in killing people. So, you know, you got to be careful on the finger plan. You got to have a plan. And there's all kinds of plans out there that you can use. The Bible app we encourage you to use all the time. It's got reading plans you can use. All kinds of ways that you have a plan. You have a design. Notice this next one. We must be desperately dependent. Desperately dependent. I love this word. Dependent doesn't do any more. It seems like we have to have adjectives to every word we use to really give it definition. We need to be desperately dependent. What does that mean? Apart from me, you can do nothing. So what does that mean? It means I'm desperately dependent, saying, God, if you don't do it, it won't happen. This last 3 weeks, I want you to know I've been desperately dependent because we kind of committed ourselves to this dental clinic. And I'm like, God, if you don't come through, we're not going to be able to have this thing. We really believe we want to have it. You want us to have it. So God, we're dependent upon you to work. And God had it all along. And I have to wonder if God was just smiling. Hey, Gabriel, just watch when he gets the last phone call. Just watch this. Desperately dependent on our spiritual walk with the Lord that we can't do it. But here's the kicker. Here's our problem. Most of us live our spiritual lives in such a way that we're not really desperately dependent. Don't miss this. Oh, don't miss this. We live in the safe zone. We live in the safe zone that's isolated. We don't get connected to people. We're not too connected to anything. We're kind of at a safe distance. And so we're not really desperately dependent. My question to you is this, church. Are you at a place in your life spiritually where you're living, where you're, God, if you don't come through, this is not going to happen. That's where we need to be. As a church, we're living on the edge, and sometimes we seem to live there financially all the time sometimes. But that's all right. I'll live there if that's where God wants us to be. We'll live there. Because it keeps me on my knees. Desperately dependent. Notice the next one. We must be dedicated and determined. You say, well, now, wait a minute, Brad. These schemes kind of go against each other. You say, I got to be desperately dependent, but I got to be dedicated and really, really determined. So here's what the statement's always made. You need to live your life knowing that it all depends on Jesus, but work as if it all depends on you. I like the statement somebody shared earlier this week in our pastor's conference this week. God gives everything for a garden to grow. The sun, the soil, the wind, the rain, the seed. God gives all of that. But the one thing that God never does is plow the field. You can pray all day long. You can sit out in front of your garden and say, God, would you please plow the field? And I'll promise you it will be unplowed this time next year if you don't plow it. You get the picture? So knowing that if God doesn't send the rain, if God doesn't send the sun, if God doesn't send the soil, I don't have a garden. In my spiritual life, it is the same exact way that I'd live in a place where, God, I'm desperately dependent upon you, that I am nothing without you. God, I am a mess. I am a wreck. I screw up so many times. I'm so dependent upon your grace and your love and your mercy to be on display in my life. God, I need your power. I need your strength. I used to always think as a younger teenager that God was so impressed if I was independent, that I was strong, that I didn't really need him except when I was in a real big crunch. But folks, I learned in my older teen years, I learned that God loves desperate people. God loves desperate people. But you've got to be dedicated. You've got to be determined. Notice these last two. We have to declare our sins. We've got to confess our sins, repent of them. We live in a day and age that doesn't want to talk about sin a lot. A lot of preachers leave out sin and blood and hell and all those kinds of things. That makes people uncomfortable. Well, good night, it ought to. That's what I would tell preachers. Say, well, you got to leave that out. You might offend somebody. Well, the Bible says the gospel is offensive. Now, do I stand out there on a street corner and yell, turn to burn, fry or die? Is that what I'm saying? No. Am I going to beat somebody with the head tomorrow at school tomorrow and say, you better turn to Jesus? Right now, I'm serious. Hell is real and it's hot. But here's the problem. You know our culture thinks of heaven and hell? Have you seen the commercial already for the show on NBC? The Good Place? The guy upstairs lives in the good place. I'm thinking, boy, if all that we got to look forward to is Ted dancing, I'm going to be a little disappointed. But that's what our culture thinks. The last, we got to divest ourselves of some distractions. We've got to get rid of some stuff in our lives. We are the world's worst with talking about how we need much more time to do stuff, and all we do is add, and add. I want us to practice a word. And even, listen to me, and even to say it at church. Are you serious? Now, I don't want you to say it very often at church, but you can say it occasionally. It's a hard word for some of us stutter to say this word. Now, some of you are really good at it. You say this word about everything, so it's not a problem. For some of you, struggle. It's a two-letter word. It is the word no. All right, let's just for fun, let's just say it together. Ready? One, two, three. No. Yeah, but it's a great idea. Okay, y'all are going to get it eventually. Yeah, but it's an awesome opportunity. I mean, your kid will get to this or that. No. Yeah, but what, man, you'll get to promote and go here and go there. Right? You get the idea. We need to get rid of some stuff because it's hard to connect, grow, commit, and go when our schedule and our calendar and our lives are so crammed full that our tongues are hanging out and God gets the leftovers. So, folks, here's the deal. To get back to the basics, listen to me. You got to shed some stuff in your life that at the end of the day will not last. And you got to teach your kids. But listen to me, moms and dads. You got to teach your kids because your other parent friends are telling you, you better let your kid do this and you better get your kid to do that. And your kids are telling you, all my friends are doing that. And you've got to stand your ground and teach your kids what matters the most. And it's not easy. I know that. And you say, well, it's easy for you to say. You're the preacher. Don't think that I don't feel the same pull that you do. I do. I could give you example after example where my kids could have done this or gone here and done that. But listen, at the end of the day, because it flatters us, we're like, wow, my kid is good. My kid is good. He's a chip off the old block. We have opportunities. But listen, here's what I know. Just as God, in the same way for us, I'm not interested in my kids' happiness as much as I am in their character. And I don't give a flying rip at the end of the day if they get to do this or get to do that. What I want them to know by the time they leave my house is they know and love Jesus. And they are going to be willing to die if that's what God calls them to do, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And that doesn't mean they're a missionary, though they may be in Indonesia. Melanie keeps trying to teach my daughter to say Sanggal Sakadal all the time. That's what God calls her to do? So be it! I'll get Jake Pierce to fly me over there when he becomes a pilot. My kid may be a teacher. My kid may be a doctor, a lawyer. Ain't gonna need to be to pay for me when I'm old. Right, guys? I think they're gonna be professional baseball players. I hope they will. I believe they could be. Statistically speaking, Coach Kelly, what are their odds? Pretty low. What about Reed? What are his chances? Pretty high. Very good, Coach. Very good. That's how you want to be your baseball coach. It works out well. Very good. Kids, he was going to pay for your counseling bill, but he just hurt your feelings so bad. It's okay. Coach Kelly would say pretty low, too. Statistically speaking, we know, right? No, it's my base. What about anything? Now, does that mean you say, so my kids should only not do any extracurricular activities and should only just do Jesus and just, you know, do this and never and have any fun? Absolutely not. We're going to do all those things, but we do them, watch, with this in view. That this and this matters the most. Period. End of story. Is everybody going to applaud you for that? No. And you're going to hear all kind of people say, well, but we do this and we do that and it's this. And it's... Nope. It is or it isn't. So how do you connect? What are we trying to connect to? Here it is. These are not going to be, you're going to be going, wow, I never thought about these before. You ready? It's going to be deep. Number one, connect to Jesus. On a daily basis, connect to Jesus. I don't mean just in your 5-minute quiet time or your 3.5-minute quiet time or your quick time to prayer. Or as you're going to bed at night, that's not what I mean. No, that's a part of it. I'm talking about being connected to Jesus throughout the day. Connected. Here's the word I use, deeply connected. Do you know Jesus? Do you really know him? And does he know you? And the answer is he does know you whether you realize it or not. And here's the amazing thing. In spite of the fact he knows us, he still loves us. I'm grateful for that today. Connect deeply. Jesus. Secondly, not only connect deeply to Jesus, and some verses I'm just going to have to leave for you to look at later, connect deeply with your family. Connect deeply with your family. And listen, the things that pull at us, moms and dads, to connect deeply with our kids, it is so easy. My wife will say amen. It is easy for me, and I did a little bit of it yesterday because I was tired, a long week. It's easy for us to pop in the recliner, put on the boob tube, and sit back and chill all day and all night. It's easy to do. I know. We have to intentionally, deeply connect with our kids and have conversation with them, talk to them, love them, share with them, listen to them. Are you deeply connected with your family? Well, I've got this job and I've got this priority. Listen to me. Listen. And I told our search committee, and they're so good about this when I came here. My wife has to remind me of this from time to time. My kids have one daddy. One daddy. If I were to drop dead on this platform, and I hope I don't today. I mean, I'm ready to go. I'm good, but I'd like to hang around a little bit longer, see my kids. You know what y'all do next Sunday? Y'all have church next Sunday. And I hope a few of you would cry a little bit. And I hope a couple of you would say, boy, he sure looks good. No, because you won't be able to say that. It'll be a closed casket. You just say, well, I bet he looks good, right? But you know what you'll have next Sunday? Somebody's going to stand right here and preach the gospel. And give it a couple of months. I'm just keeping it real here. Does that hurt my feelings? A little. Brad Eubank will be long forgotten. The question is, what will be left? What will last? I'm connected deeply with Jesus. I'm connected deeply to my church, with my family. What will last is the legacy I've left to my kids. You're going to forget me. They're not going to have a choice. They can't forget me. I'll haunt them if they do. Deeply connect with your Petal First Baptist family. I'm almost through. Deeply connect with your Petal First Baptist family. What do I mean by that? Folks, if all you do is show up here on a Sunday morning for an hour and 15 minutes, you walk in at 10:30 and you run out the door at 11-ish, 45-ish, ish, and nobody knows your name, I can tell you in our church family who is connected. How do you know? How do you know who's connected? There's so many people. I tell you when I know that you're connected or not is when a crisis comes in your life and I look around and it's just me and you. Because nobody else knows. Because nobody knows you. And nobody's connected with you. But then I walk into some spots and I'll get the phone call. Hey, preacher, I'd love for you to come, but the waiting room's full. We don't need you. Just stay home with your family. That's who I know is deeply connected. You see, we want your membership at Petal First Baptist to mean something. We want to raise the bar high and say, we expect you and want you to be here every single Sunday. And we'd love for you to be here on Wednesday nights too. Why? Because we want to fill our roles up and think good about it? No, because we know that the more you're here, the deeper connected you are, the more you're going to grow, the more you'll commit, and the more you'll be willing to go. Deeply connect with your friends. I hope you have those 2 a.m. friends. Those friends that are closely walking with Jesus. I'm blessed. A lot of you don't know him, but Dr. Dan Caldwell meets with me once a month. I can call him anytime. We meet once a month at Waffle House. First Monday of the month, you can find us there. And Dr. Dan and I just talk and share. Holds me accountable, prays over me, gives me wisdom and advice and guidance. I need that in my life. You need to be deeply connected to some people. Listen to me, who know you. Because listen to me, it's very easy to not have people to know you. And if you don't have anybody that knows you, you're in deep trouble. Lastly, we're done. Deeply connected with someone who is far away from God. Now, here's the thing. You've got to be anchored to the church. You've got to be anchored to your friends so that you can then grab a hold of somebody who is far away from God and help them connect to Jesus. That's our call. Connect yourselves and others to Christ and the church. Are you connected? Back to the basics. Here's the basics. You got to be connected to Jesus, to your church family, to your physical family, to your friends, to those that are far away from God. May we, church, be connected. Would you pray with me this morning? God, I thank you this morning for the opportunity to dive into your word. God, truths that are so important, and I pray that we've heard them and we will embrace them and make them a part of our lives. God, I pray for any person this morning within the sound of my voice that is yet to connect to you, yet to connect to you as Christ, as Savior, and as Lord. There's never been a moment where they've asked you and admitted to you they're a sinner. They've never asked you to forgive them of all of their sins. That today they would say, Lord, I want to do that, and I want to believe that you are the Son of God, that you love me, and you gave yourself up for me, that you died just for me and rose again so that I could have life, have abundant life. Lord, for those who need to say, Lord, I confess you as my Savior. I cannot save myself, and this morning I commit my life to you as Savior and as Lord. I pray for any person, mom or dad, boy or girl, needs to make that decision. They would find Chris and I at their front this morning and say, that's me. I didn't know Jesus when I walked in this room, but before I leave, I want to know Jesus. For others of you, you already know Christ as Savior and Lord, but you've never made it public. You've never stepped out and said, I want the world to know that I'm a Christ follower. I want to be baptized. I want to be a part of this church family. You would come this morning and be bold and courageous and say, God, I can't do it without you. I'm desperately dependent. My knees are going to shake. I'm going to have to crawl down the aisle. If you got to crawl down the aisle, get down here and do that which God has called you to do. For others to come and join this church family, this is where God wants me to connect, to be a part of this fellowship of believers that are serious and intentional about making a difference in the lives of a lost and a hurting world. We'd love to have you if God is calling you to come. For others to come to this altar and pray over what God has done. Maybe to pray over your child's backpack, you can do that too. Whatever God wants us to do to be connected to Him, may we do it right now, I pray. Lord, we give this time to you. Would you move in power and in strength? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.